Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
So Jesus here references marriage the way God had established it from the beginning, but the Pharisees weren't satisfied with that answer. As a matter of fact, they contradicted it, that God would take two and make them one. And they said, well, hey, what's up with this? Moses was allowed to write divorce papers. He was commanded to give a writing of divorce. If it's God's plan that when two come together, they never separate, then why was divorce permitted by God's lawgiver, Moses? So then Jesus answers that in verse 8. And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So what Jesus just did, we don't have to read a lot of books. Jesus laid it out. He just said that the reason there is divorce was because of the hardness of men's heart. As a matter of fact, I submit unto you that any broken relationship, any broken friendship, any division between any people rests in the hardness of men's heart. But when you look at the word marriage and you see what it means, marriage comes from a Greek word that represents two things being completely merged into one. Imagine if I had, clay in both hands, and I took that clay and I began to work that clay and mold the clay into one new piece. That's marriage. It's two that have been worked together and made one. Two that have been made one. Well, it's almost impossible to take two, pieces of clay and make them one if the one piece is completely hardened and dried out and has no moisture. Even if the one were workable, if the one is completely hard, then I'm going to have a hard time making these two one if the one doesn't have any adaptability, if it's not willing to merge with the other. And that's a perfect picture of marriage. Two being worked in together, two becoming one. That was God's plan when he created male and female, that they would come together and form a marriage, that the two would become one physically, become one spiritually, and become one mentally. That's not a work that happens overnight. Amen. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you, based on the Word of God, some traits that are needed for a healthy, successful marriage. And if you're here and you're single and you're praying about marriage, or maybe you're dating and thinking about marriage, you can write these traits down and say, okay, does this individual have these traits? Because if they don't have these traits, I don't really need to be considering them to enter into marriage. And the first trait that I want to talk about is adaptability. Adaptability. So write that down, because I'll be giving you several over the next couple of weeks. But adaptability. When a person is not adaptable, there is no change in them. You've heard it said about people when it seemed hopeless. You might hear somebody say, they ain't never going to change. And anytime you make that statement about somebody, that they are never going to change, that's always negative. That's a negative thing when a person says, well, they're never going to change. I want to show you something in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in the fourth chapter, because without adaptability, you can't have a healthy marriage. As a matter of fact, I'm going to submit unto you that if you don't have adaptability, you can't even have a successful life. And I want to explain that. Because success in life, wherever you are right now in life, success in life rest in your ability to adapt to the season that you're in. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day. Simply put, seasons are going to change. Life is going to change. Success in life is your ability to adapt to the season that you're in. You've got to know when you're in the season of the 99-cent menu at Taco Bell and when you're in the season of a steak at Superior Steakhouse. You've got to know which season that you're in. You've got to know when you're in the season of wearing these jeans and when you're in the season of, I just paid this much for these jeans. You have to know what season you're in. Sharing the car and carpool before buying the second car. You got to know you're in the season of the twin bed in the apartment and you're not getting to the sleep number bed in the big house just yet. See, it's all about adapting to the season that I'm in. When you're not able to adapt to the season that you're in, you fail. It's true in relationship. It's true in business. It's true in finance. It's true in ministry. What season am I in, and can I adapt to the season that I'm in? And listen, seasons change in marriage. Married folk, help me in here. Seasons change in marriage. Man, when Christian and I first got married, and before we started multiplying and replenishing the earth, man, you know, it was a different world when it was just she and I. We married to date. A lot of folk dating and married. We married to date. Man, we dated all the time. I mean, and all of a sudden, but things begin to change. And if you're not willing to adapt, if you cannot adapt to the changes of marriage and life and having children and raising children, and then those kids get of age and you got basketball practice and one's got piano recital and this one's got that one going on. You got to be on each end of the city at the same time and you're running carpool and feel like you're running crazy and how can we meet all these demands and you got all this stuff going on. If you can't, as they used to say, roll with the punches, if you can't roll with what life is giving you, you're not going to make it. Church, we have to be adaptable. And married couples, above all, have got to be adaptable. And the thing that will prevent you from being adaptable is a hardened heart. See, when my heart is hard, it won't adapt. When my neck is stiff, I won't adapt. When I'm unwilling to change, I won't adapt. And no matter what you try to invest into a hardened heart, if your heart is hard, it cannot receive. And I want to just tell you up front, what hardens men's heart more than anything else is offense. Offense. An individual that's been offended hardens his heart. I deal with it all the time. In ministry, if you're going to deal with people, you're going to deal with offense. Because what happens is, in any relationship, the closer the relationship, the higher the expectation. The higher the expectation, the more susceptible you are to be offended. Because all offense is unmet expectation. When you're not meeting what I or doing what I expected you to do, that causes offense. You have two types of offended people: those that feel like they have been wronged, and those that have been wronged. Did you hear how I just said that? Two types of offended people: those that feel like they have been wronged, and then those that have been wronged. That's an offended person. You don't get offended at strangers. You can walk down aisle number 12 at the Walmart, and that strange person you've never met in your life who is staring at all the different creamers that are available for coffee, they don't speak to you, and you don't think nothing of it. But if you've been visiting this church for just a few weeks, and you've been sitting next to somebody, and you've seen them several times, and you bump into that same person at Walmart on aisle number 12, and they don't speak to you, then you can't even get out of Walmart before you're already texting somebody saying, guess what? So-and-so that I've been seeing at church can't speak to me outside of church. See, any kind of relationship now merits expectation. But there's no level of expectation that you'll ever put in anybody like you will your spouse. Inevitably, we expect more out of our spouse than we do anybody else. That's the one we're in covenant with. That's the one we're married to. You ought to be bringing more to the table than anybody. So the closer the relationship, the higher the expectation. And there are unrealistic expectations we put on people we might deal with later. But the reason why offense is so, we're so vulnerable to offense in marriage is because we feel like we have the rights to expect the most from this person that we're married to, that we're in covenant with. You can, an offended person will harden their heart, not only toward the person that they have assumed injured them, but you can take a person that gets offended at church and won't go back to any church. You can take a person that got offended by a preacher and won't listen to no other preacher. You can take a person that's got offended by a man and all of a sudden hate all men. And I walk up to your window, good morning, what's so good about it? Oh, I don't know, what's wrong with you? You see, you got a man complex, man hurts you and you don't like no man. See, when you get offended, offense hardens the heart. So the enemy wants us offended at each other and he wants us offended at God. He wants our heart to be hardened. Why? Because the quality of your life will never go beyond the quality of your relationships. And everything that God is trying to get to us, he'll get to us through people. But if your heart is hard toward people, then you can't receive from them. See, let me say it like this. Jesus taught in Matthew 11 that when we enter the yoke with him, I think that's around verse 27, but when we enter the yoke with him, he said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He was saying, when you come into a covenant with me, when you come into a relationship with me, I make things easy. Every relationship, you hear me say it all the time, every relationship is making something easier in your life. So that's what relationships are designed to do. They're need-based. They make things easier. Well, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to separate relationship. And he does it through the hardening of heart. And you may be in a marriage right now where you're saying, I'm saying all the right things. I think I'm doing all the right things. She's just not receiving it. Or he's just not receiving it. Well, let me show it to you by what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, where Jesus is going to illustrate God's word as an incorruptible seed being sown, he lists four different types of ground that seed could be potentially sown into. But notice what he brings up in verse 5. He says, some fell on stony ground. What kind of ground? Stony ground, hard ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, when the heat came, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. It couldn't take the heat. Why? Because it was stony ground. He's saying the seed didn't get deep enough in the stony ground to be able to handle the heat. And there are a lot of marriages today that are not handling the heat because the heart is too hard. See, if you're in a position where you can't, You feel like you're saying words, but they're not being received. You're communicating your love, but it's not being received. And you want to get frustrated and say, you know, I'm trying, but it's not being received. It's because the heart is hard. And it was the hardened heart. It was because of the hardened heart that God had to implement through Moses the law of divorcement, which was not his perfect plan. So you and I need to say, okay, Lord, is my heart hard? Is there something going on in my heart that would not allow me to be receptive? Have you ever tried to communicate love or attention or affection to somebody and felt like it was rejected, felt like it was resisted? You know, you're just trying to be cordial and nice to folk and give them a smile and a kind word and they won't even speak. Our flesh gets aggravated at the thought that I'm trying to sow kindness in you. I'm trying to sow words of affection in you, and you won't even listen to me. You won't even receive what I have. That's the condition of a hardened heart. And church, it's dangerous when that happens to our hearts inside of marriage, because no matter what your spouse is doing, you're rejecting it. And so the two can't merge. You can't become one when one's heart is hard. Now, you might be here today saying, man, I wish he was here to hear this. No, you're here to hear this. And you can't say, I wish she was here. I tried to get her to come to church. Oh, hard, hard self. No, no, you need this. You need this word. You have to be accountable to yourself and say, God, is there something in my heart that's caused me to become hard where I can't, you know, be molded? And where I'm not adaptable. What does it mean to have adaptability? What does it mean to be adaptable? Here's the definition. It means I'm able to change or be changed in order to fit or work better in some situation or for some purpose. I'm able to change. I'm able to be changed in order to make something work. Hey, glory to God. And honey, if you're going to make marriage work, you've got to be willing to change some things. Things you didn't see coming, things you didn't know would happen, they will come and they will happen. And we have to have that kind of adaptability if it's going to work. As a matter of fact, there are three times in the book of Hebrews where God says, harden not your hearts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, all declare, harden not your heart. Look at your neighbor and say that out loud. Harden not your heart. See, if your heart gets hard toward God, hard toward me, hard toward anyone, then now you cannot receive from that person once your heart has been made hard. God in Isaiah 64, and I'm going to cite these scriptures because I got a lot to cover, but God in Isaiah 64, verse 8 says this, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter. I'm going to read that part again. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. That's Isaiah 64, 8. That, Lord, I am the clay, and you are the potter. Mold me. Make me into the work of your hand. The only thing that would prevent that is if your heart was so hard toward others and your heart was so hard toward God that you were not adaptable and he could not mold you. Romans 9, 21 says this, hath not the potter power over the clay? Hath not the potter power over the clay? So we have to give the Lord power over the clay and say, Lord, is there something that needs to be changed in me? But that can't happen if you don't have a heart that is sensitive to God's word, sensitive to God's spirit, that's willing to say I'm wrong, that's willing to repent, and that's willing to ask for forgiveness. Lord, soften my heart. Make my heart good ground for what you're trying to get into me. Hallelujah. Adaptability, church, it could be the most important trait that we need in marriage. And if you're single, it might be the most important trait that you need to look for when you're considering marriage. If you're driving down the road with this guy and you just can't get over how much ketchup is spilt on his steering wheel and all them french fries in the floorboard. And you know, and then you get irritated by the conversation that you're having. And then you get off the date and you tell your friend, and you say, man, oh my goodness, he's this nasty, just ketchup all on the steering wheel. I mean, just french fries all in the floor. And just the things that he says, I just don't know, the things that come out of his mouth. And then your friend asks you, say, girl, why are you going out with him? Shh, he fine. Let me give you this advice. Don't make a permanent decision over a temporary look. Now, I need to say this to men, too. Men get the rap that they're the only one moved by sight, but there's some ladies in here get moved by sight as well. But let me say this to you. Men, don't be marrying somebody because of how good she looks. You need to take a good, strong look at her mama because that's going to be her before long. Just look at her mama and say, that's her right there. If you can't handle that, you need to get away from her. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't it though? The big question is are they changeable? Are they adaptable? How do they respond to the seasons that they're in? How are they adapting to the seasons they're in? That's vital to the health of life, and it is vital to the health of any relationship, and it is certainly vital to marriage. Are they adaptable to the seasons we're in? What's going to happen when seasons change? Are they going to be able to roll with the punches? Can they adapt to the season they were in? Because, church, seasons change. Some of you married couples, you're going through some hard times right now. Seasons change. Don't make no permanent decision over this. Seasons change. Don't make a permanent decision over something that's just going to change. You know, you mess around and break up and come out of that marriage and go right back into another marriage that had the same kind of issue because you didn't face it in that one either. Mm-hmm. Number two. If you're going to have a healthy marriage, There has to be empathy. I want to show this to you in Ephesians chapter 5. When God looked at Adam alone, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. God looked at James A. McManus, and he said, it is not good that James A. Menace to the Devil Society be alone. And he gave me Chrissy Lafitte McManus, and I said, thank you, Lord. If God looked at man that he made that was alone and said, it's not good that man should be alone, then he recognized man had a need. Because what his solution was, is he said, I will make him help that is meet, M-E-E-T, for him. That means proper, suitable, and fit. And so God's answer for a man that was alone, what was proper, what was suitable, and what would fit right, was a woman. And he brought the woman to the man. That was his solution. But that's based on need, because every relationship is making something easier. In marriage, you know, you have to realize that in marriage there are needs. And that a husband goes into that marriage with needs. And that a wife comes into that marriage with needs. And within that marriage there are needs. Now there are some needs that you're married, your spouse, your marriage partner can't meet. There are needs that only Jesus can meet. Can you say amen? And I do believe we are guilty of putting unrealistic expectations on our spouses to meet needs that they don't have the ability to meet. But I want to talk about the needs that we are called in Scripture to meet. And not only do I want to talk about those needs, beforehand I want to talk about empathy, because if you have no empathy, you don't care about nobody's needs. A person that lacks empathy only sees their own need. Now, I'm not going to get up here and lie to you. There have been times in Chrissy and I's marriage that I have only seen my needs. Thank you for the support. But marriage cannot be successful when I'm only thinking about my needs. Marriage will not work. Chrissy would get up here and tell you this right now if she only thought about her needs. So what must you have if you're going to be sensitive to your spouse's needs? You must have empathy. Empathy, by definition, is this. It is the feeling that you understand and share another person's experiences and emotions. It is having a sensitivity to the needs of another. See, if I have empathy, I see your need. If we're outside and it's freezing, and I've got on my coat, and I got another coat in my vehicle, and you out there just shivering, if I have any empathy, I'm going to go to my vehicle and pull out that second coat and give you that coat. Or I might give you my coat, but I can't let you go through something when I know I've got what you need. I can't look at you having the need and I got what you need. I'm going to ignore it. No, empathy says I got to meet your needs. Empathy says I'm going to put your needs above mine. I'm going to be sensitive to what you're going through. People that have no empathy will not give. They will not serve. They're selfish. They only think about themselves. They would not give anything away out of fear that one day they might need it. So if you have no empathy in your marriage, there's no sensitivity to what your spouse is going through. Now, let's watch Ephesians 5. I want to say something else about needs. Needs control behavior. Amen. Thank you, Donna. Needs control behavior. So a couple of nights ago at our house, my wife has these two miniature goats. One of them's a pygmy goat, and the other one's what, a Norwegian something? Nigerian goat. And one of them's named Granby, and the other one's named Irie. And Irie need to be called Irie, because I need to tell Irie all the time, it's going to be all right. That's what Irie means in Jamaica. It's going to be all right. Because Irie can be strange. And we got these two goats. And so a couple nights ago, they slept in the garage because they wouldn't go to their pen. And so that's okay. They hung out with the dogs, act like they're dogs. That's fine. Until the next morning, I went out there and looked at the garage. And it was like, oh, no. I don't know if you've ever seen a goat. And I hate to illustrate this at church. We're all spiritual. But when they had to go to the bathroom, it looked like a machine gun going off out of the rear end. You don't ever know what's going to happen. And you walk around like BBs just shooting out the backside. Little round balls all over the place. Thank God they're dry. You can take a leaf blower and blow them off. Fertilize the grass with it. It was all over the garage. I'm out walking like this. I'm like, oh, no. My wife saw it. She said, we got to make sure we only feed these goats in their pen. I said, you're right, because they got to want to go to that pen. So that night, they didn't get to eat because they wouldn't go to their pen. So, you know, you don't get fed. You had a chance to eat last night in your pen. I stayed in this garage and put that poop all over the place. No. So the next evening, yesterday morning, Saturday morning, I'm heading out toward their pen. And boy, here they come. Bah, bah, pop, 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 just bah. I said, boy, now you want to follow me. Couldn't get you to go to pen the other night. You're hungry self. See, need controls behavior. These goats started behaving right because they was hungry. Man, I went and got a cup of feed out the shop. And, man, they trying to get all up in my cup. And I put the food down. Boy, they went after it. Last night, sun went down. We had some family over. We getting ready to go. I was saying goodnight to everybody. Here come them goats. Bah, bah. I said, no, you ain't sleeping in the garage tonight. I went head out to their pen, man. They almost beat me there. They all run up in the pen. They wouldn't go to that pen the other night. See, all it took was one day of hunger.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.